Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. It's the last line of our gospel today. Think of what that means. Who decreed the Sabbath? God. We can measure the months, the years, the days, by the calculation of the moon, the sun, the universe. Sabbath is established by the word of God. It's not a cosmic thing. You know, it's not measured. It's measured by the word of God. God said, Shabbat, Shabbat. And Jesus says, I am the Lord of the Shabbat. So who is he? It's important that we think of these, you know, let the impact of these things really impress themselves on us. Today, we have in the letter to the Hebrews, in chapter 6, this exhortation to be faithful. Brothers and sisters, that's not in the text, you know, I mean, that's the way they start. God is not unjust, so as to, let me see where my text is. God is not unjust. So as to forget your efforts and the love you showed for the sake of his name. We deeply desire each one of you to show the same eagerness for the fullness of hope up to the end, so that you be not sluggish, but rather imitators of those who through faith and perseverance are inheriting the promise. So now, on this day when we have a new president, and we can see that there's going to be conflict, there's going to be difference of opinion, besides the weight of the financial crisis that hangs over us, that could simply destroy the whole economic structure of the world. I happen to be friends with some people who are, you know, run huge businesses and know economics. And one of them just said to me yesterday that what I just said to you. You realize, for instance, that there isn't enough money in existence to pay the cumulative debt of the whole world. We owe more than we possess as a world. And that's fine, you know, for a little while, but it's so fragile. Huh? That's why we're printing more money. What does that mean? It means everybody has to really believe that this stuff is worth something. When I was doing my economics years ago, I was going to be an economic theorist. That was going to be my field. Until the Lord tapped me on the shoulder and reminded me that he called me to be a priest. And so I changed. But it's been centuries since the stuff we exchange and call money is worth anything. And if any of us stop believing in it, it's over. That's faith. Funny kind of faith, but this is real faith. And so, you see, he's saying, this is such a gorgeous thing. When God made a promise to Abraham, since he did not have anyone greater by which to swear, he swore by himself, saying, and then, if I do not surely bless you and surely make you increase, I've explained that that's the oath, right? If I don't pay you back by tomorrow night, may the roof of my house fall in. So the first part of one of these Semitic vows, God is quoted as saying, making one. If I do not surely bless you and make you increase, what? Think of the kindness of God to make an oath. You see, this is the it takes your breath away to think that God is like this, doesn't it? He promises. He makes an oath. Isn't he going to help us? Care for us? Isn't his plan perfect? Yes. And our faith is in that promise, which has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ and is being fulfilled every day. That's God's justice. You know, we've discussed this at other times. Justice means honoring the truth of every relationship. That's justice. So Abraham believed God, and that's justice, because the truth of the relationship is that we believe God. And God, his justice is that he's faithful to his promises. He honors the truth of the relationship, first to himself. That's why he has no one greater by which to swear. But he's promised. He's promised. And that's what faith is. I believe you. I believe you. You have a perfect plan. And you have called me to eternal life. You have called us to eternal life. And you've promised. And I believe you. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as justice. We believe God, who is saying, I am calling you to an eternal life. And the pledge of that promise is the cross of my Son. My poor little children, you have no idea of the depth of evil you have set loose in this world. You have no idea. My judgment on this world fell on my Son. Understand that. You know, listen to me when I urge you. Come back to me. Give your life to me. Yes, things could be difficult. But remember, God has made you a promise. That if you will obey him, you know, you will be forever, forever with him. Forever with God in an intimacy that is unimaginable, rejoicing in God and with millions, billions of people for all eternity, rejoicing in God. Such a treasure. And that's the promise. When God made a promise to Abraham, since he did not have anyone greater by which to swear, he swore by himself. And God's looking around, how can I convince them? You know, I'll swear by that oak tree. No, I can't, I'm God, you know. To win us over. That's amazing. And so that's what we're beginning something epic-making in this country. They say that the TV watching this will be as great as the Super Bowl. That's our norm. Not as great as the funeral of John Paul II, but as great as the Super Bowl. That's pretty good, you know. So let's pray. Pray that we be faithful to the plan of God, which will be for the joy and the salvation of everyone who wants it. And for that, let us pray to the Lord.